Hello there, everybody. Welcome to the Resilient Kids podcast. Today, I'm talking with Anna. Anna, would you like to introduce yourself to everyone?
Hi, everyone. I'm Anna Paul-Putter. I live in Carterton, Wairapa, New Zealand, and I've got two girls, Florence, she's 2.5, and Goldie Grace, she is 15 months.
They're absolutely gorgeous little girls, full of energy and lovely. I love seeing them and hearing what you're up to. Hey, so what are you thinking about in relation to them that you'd like to talk about today, Anna?
Well, it's a busy time, that's for sure. I look back and think now I'm in a very busy stage in my life where I've got two active little girls that need my attention 24/7.
Yeah.
So at the moment I'm just sort of juggling mum life and, you know, my business, my Airbnb that we started, just trying to run that, and also my little arts I do, but also making sure I think my girls have the time that they need from mum and dad, but especially mum, because I'm a stay-at-home mum. So it's just sort of teaching them life's lessons without, I guess, overdoing mum life. And also I'm one of those mums where I kind of let my kids learn from actions. So I'm not so sugar-coated or covering them in a cotton wool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's
so,
just
so are you worried? Are you worrying about something?
Every day I have worries. I think ever since becoming a mum, I've become more worried.
Welcome to the club.
Exactly. Yeah. I've never felt like this before. And I think that's just how you are when you become a mum, you know. It's about your children now. It's not about you, so to speak. You've still got to look after yourself, but your kids come first. And we're just sort of in this busy stage where we're just taking it day by day, which I think is the most important, not stressing about the next day or how yesterday went. I've got Florence, who is a spirited young girl that can be quite difficult at times. In social environments, she's the more out there child where other people could perceive it as quite a naughty child, as people, you know. So it's navigating her emotions as well as a 2.5-year-old, which is very emotional. And then also I have to sometimes worry about my 15-month-old who sort of just copies what her sister does at the moment. So what
do you know about managing emotion, and what do you know about how kids grow?
Well, for me, you know, I like to look on Instagram. I like to look at what you know, your stuff that you put up, as well as resilient children. For me, managing emotion is accepting that they are upset at times. You know, I can see Florence is screaming her head off over something, and I can just say, yeah, I know you're upset, but it's okay. Just, you know, take a few breaths and, you know, calm down, we'll get there. And it seems to work most of the time. For me, if even for Florence, just having a bit of quiet time in her room with some books. I do not let my girls go on tablets. That's one thing I'm not, I think that's a really emotional thing that she tried to for a little while and it wasn't good. So we've learnt that screen time is limited. So, you know, we have the TV, like so probably most parents, but it's limited. And outdoor play is a big thing, but also having those, it's just navigating for me too, learning about these two-year-old emotions, because she's my first child. So it was the most easiest baby. And now I'm having to deal with this crazy 2.5-year-old that doesn't want to listen to you all the time. And you've got to realize, okay, that's just the age. Just let her have that moment.
Yeah.
And don't overthink it, because she's not going to remember that in a couple of hours.
I thought that I might read through kind of the educational information about the jobs of a child at this kind of age, from about 18 to 3 years. I mean, there's no right or wrong, just letting you know, because kids are different and they grow and develop in different places. But if we're thinking about these as kind of developmental tasks, things that they have to learn as they grow through these places, go through this period of their time. So it's establishing the ability to think for themselves, to test reality and push against boundaries and the authorities of others. So she's doing exactly what she's supposed to be doing, right? to learn to think and problem solve with cause and effect thinking. So there's an opportunity there to ask a question. So if you do that, what do you think is going to happen? And yeah, whether that's, you know, carrying on with her upsetness, or whether that's, you know, pouring water in a place that you don't want it to be poured. To start to follow simple safety commands. Come, wait, go, stop, stay here.
Yeah.
To express anger and feelings.
We get that on a daily.
Yeah. To separate from parents without losing their love. So that's the ability to be able to go and, you know, like I think you said to me that she's playing with the neighbours at the moment, and to know that that's cool, and, you know, she's still going to be loved when she comes back.
Exactly. And that's a bit of a privilege too for her to go over there. You know, it's she calls her auntie, and she's about 30 years old, the lady next door. So it's nice for me too to have that person I can trust, but also for her to know that's a bit of a treat to go next door and have some fun.
Yeah, nice.
Here's my coffee.
The next one is to start to give up beliefs about being the centre of the universe.
Okay.
And then lastly, to learn to do simple chores, and then continue to learn tasks from earlier stages in her life. Even though she's little, there's things that she will have learned, lots of things that she would have learned since she was in your book.
I encourage her. She's very good. She likes to help tidy up, and I really try and praise that with both the girls. I've heard comments that, oh, she's always packing up her stuff after she plays. And I think it's not all the time, you know, the emotions are, but when they do, it's always rewarding, that good behaviour. And then they realise it's actually, okay, that's cool.
And they really want to please you, right?
Totally, all the time.
And so here are some lovely things that you can say to her when she's really angry. It's okay for you to be angry, and I won't let you hurt yourself or others.
That's a nice point.
Yeah. And so reminding her, because she's practicing the skill, and at the moment her brain isn't even functioning in a way that allows her to do that good strategy thinking. And as we know, it doesn't really kick until later on in your early 20s, mate.
Yeah, we all know that, don't we?
We do. Yeah. Another one is you can think and feel at the same time.
That's a good one.
Yeah. You can know what you need and ask for help.
And that's another two thing, I think, for 2.5-year-olds. Some, for her vocabulary's come after her physical side, so she was always physical.
Yeah.
But her words, she's learning to still pronounce words. So half of her frustration is not being able to tell me exactly why she's so emotional.
Yeah, lovely.
And there's a lot of pointing, and so I get her, well, come on, show me what you are looking
lovely,
at.
Lovely, Anna.
Upsetting you.
Yeah.
And she goes to it. It's like, cool, okay, now I know. And it's just helping in saying those words and getting her to
build her vocabulary.
So she's been, and both of my girls didn't, and I noticed with Goldie, she doesn't say much, but she understands what you say. Oh, so
huge, eh?
Huge for 15 months, you know. And yeah, it's just navigating, like you say, those 2.5-year-old emotions. They have no idea. It's complete all over the show.
Yeah, that's right. And so the other way of, you know, what else do you know about how kids learn to build their vocabulary?
Well, I think reading books is a huge thing, and we have lots of books. Always explaining things to children, that's what I've always been told. Talking to them, not just, you know, putting them in front of a screen, and that's it. It's actually engaging with your child on a, you know, and things they like. Kindy's been amazing for Florence. She adores, we're just down the road from Kindy, and she loves it, and they've even noticed her change with her vocabulary. is improved as well.
Yeah, and, nice. Because she's got people talking to her and she's growing.
All the time, yeah. And lots of four-year-olds around her talking and three-year-olds. And she's stringing sentences together now and understanding emotions. But, like anyone, you have your time.
Hey, and so the other thing that you were kind of talking about was the energy required to be able to, maintain your good mum self and your good Anna self, and as long, you know, along with your two businesses, and you know, it's a hugely busy time, right? So can you remember perhaps when you did sport as a young person, how did you manage what was going on and all the energy that you had to put out? How did you manage that back in the day?
I think for me, sleep's a really important thing as a mum. And as back in the day when I was competing in surf life saving, netball, sports, when you're competing at a high level too, you need to make sure that you give your body that rest time. And as a mum now, I've never been so tired in my life as I am right now.
Yeah.
So I was talking to a friend the other night, and because he's got two children, and we were having a chat. And I ended up getting quite tearful because I just said, I'm just beyond exhausted because we've been managing this renovation. I've also got my little side business that I love, which keeps my creative juices flowing.
Yeah.
Then I've also got my time as a mum and time as a wife to give all this little energy so that you have your moments where you just think, what am I doing? But the most important thing I always think is sleep and routine.
Yeah.
Routine's a big thing. I think when you're doing sport, you've got your routine of your trainings and eating well. But routine is the biggest thing along with sleep. And our girls are really routine children, which helps.
Hey, Anna, I've just noticed behind you the dog's chewing something. Is that okay?
Oh, yeah, she's sniffing Florence's rabbit. That's Betty, our bulldog. And that's another thing we have to navigate in our life is our dogs.
Yes.
but they're pretty good as well. But, yeah, we have a busy lifestyle, but it's a balanced one, I should say. And I think for me, I've been able to keep this lifestyle of doing my creative art and also running an Airbnb because I've got the kids in a routine, which we started from a very young age of maybe about 2 months old, just giving them a bit. And at night, our girls are asleep, you know, give or take 6 to 7, and they're asleep.
Nice.
It gives me a night, you know, you get the night to freed up to have your dinner, do what you need to do, and then
And so given that you said you need to get your sleep, what do you need to do to manage that better?
For me to get sleep better, I need to eat well. That's a big thing. I think eating well, when you don't eat great, you don't sleep right. And also just making sure that everything's done. When I go to sleep, I wake up and I'm not in this frazzled state where, oh my gosh, the kitchen's a mess. Like, I like to kind of get things all done. And Dan and I sort of tag team the girls at night. That just helps me sleep better at night, knowing that things are done. We'll wake up the next morning. A little example, making the lunch the night before. It's in the fridge, it's ready to go. So in the morning, the girls are up, we're going to have breakfast, do our thing, and head off to kindy, not having to rush and make lunch.
Yeah.
While it's hectic, as we know, as mums in the morning. Yeah,
in the morning.
A chilled out time
with
busy kids.
So you take... you take something out of the organisation so that you've got the space to actually be with the girls.
I think as a mum with kids, my route, I'd always advise when I see young mums and they ask me how I did it, I just say, look, I would always say routine's a big thing for me and for your own sanity. And then other cultures, that's different. So, you see I've got friends in a different culture and their kids go to bed whenever, and that's how they're happy with that. So I guess it depends on the lifestyle you live, but I think it's important for their little brains to have that, knowing that that's bedtime and yeah, dinner time and stuff like that.
And that works for you. Yeah.
Yeah,
cool. And so in this busy world, what else do you think is useful to talk about?
Well, it depends on what your, you know, we've all got different beliefs and faith, and mm-hmm. we have our own faith, and we always make sure we instill what we believe in ourselves to our girls. And I think that's really important. No matter what you believe, you want to instill that in your children. And if they want to take it, they do. If they don't, that's their choice. But mm-hmm. also teaching them, you know, the world that we are in, that we have to navigate this crazy world, and giving them those morals and sort of, like you say, not holding them back, but giving them those boundaries to work towards and work within, but also making sure that they can test it for themselves and not kind of cover them in cotton wool, so to speak. Mm-hmm. That's what sort of Dan and I have always, you know, we try and give our girls a bit more, you know, Dan's very sporty too, so he's always out doing some stuff that not all parents would do with children, skateboarding, that sort of thing. But just teaching them those sort of skills and life lessons and interacting with adults and showing mm-hmm. respect. You know, I see so many children these days, they can't even look adults in the eye. And I think, you know, if you can just give that to your kids and show them how to love and be kind and good humans, it goes a long way. You know, I see Florence next door with the neighbor, she just can't believe it. She's like, this little, I've never really met a 2.5-year-old that wants to socialize, but we're kind of social people, so it's always like, well, it's nice to have that. And
and that must also be delightful to hear someone's reflection of your parenting too. It must be a lovely thing.
I think as mums, we can be hard on ourselves and think we're doing a really crap job today, our kids could be going through a phase of not listening or pushing every form of patience you've got.
Yeah.
And you're like, I must be doing something really bad. And then they head off to a friend's house or, you know, someone, and they're, oh, your child this, or they go to kindy, oh, she's been amazing. You think, okay, yeah, it's just me. I'm the mum she wants to play up for. But yeah, it's nice to get that feedback.
And I suppose it's a safe place for her to be able to test those boundaries where she knows that she's, you know, it's rude or inappropriate to do it outside. And so she'll practice at home to see how it gets on, right?
Totally. It's like, you know, we're going through a bit of a spitting phase.
Yay.
And when she was younger, she was a biter. So we went through the biting phase. And also I think for me, having Goldie when Florence was just turned 16 months old, I had birth to Goldie. And for Florence, it's been a huge, and it would be for other parents too. Some kids are fine with having a newborn baby. But for me personally, Florence absolutely was heartbroken and did not like this new baby in her life. And it's literally taken now, 15 months later, for her to accept Goldie as her sister, show her love and not so much aggression. And poor little Goldie's been put through the ringer with Florence, but she's come out one tough little kid. But I always say, I think looking back, you can't help fall pregnant sometimes when you don't expect to. But if I always say to people, if they're like, oh, I want another child straight away, I'm like, just enjoy your first for a little while and enjoy that time, because 2 years old is quite a full-on. And, you know, for 16 months, they're still little babies. They don't know what's really.
No.
So we've had to navigate that as well. And that's been really emotional for me, because I've got other people that are like, oh, my kid is fine. It's like, well, mine wasn't.
So yeah. And so the idea that we don't need to compare ourselves
is a huge thing, I think. I've walked out of situations bawling my eyes out because I can feel judgment on probably how people think my child is, and who's a very full-on girl. And that's just her. But other mums might have quite, you know, held back children, and that's fine to different personalities, but you can feel the you know, and you're like, oh my gosh, it's just, it's hard, and you can't help it sometimes.
Yeah, and if you think about your own experience of growing up, you know, and who you are now, what do you know about that that gives you faith that what you're doing is fine?
Well, I know that Florence is me. My personality is Florence, and I think I've turned out to be an okay person.
I think you have too, Anna.
I've had my moments like all teenagers were, but I've always gotten on with lots of ages and different people and cultures, and learned to respect, you know, elders. I might at times not, but that was my naughty side, and I've come through it and gone, okay, you know, I've got a girl that actually loves life, loves living, loves socializing, which I've always do and still continue to, and have lots of good friends that, you know, like your son and I, we're still really close to this day, and having those friendships for life that I think is really important. And I can see Florence being, you know, whatever she takes, she'll go at it and love life, and Goldie will be Goldie. She's still learning about her. You know, their emotions.
It's been such an important conversation that we've had about managing your energies and helping our little people to be able to learn how to grow, and thinking about the upset and worry that we have as parents, and trying to do the best that we can do all the time, and knowing that as long as we do it most of the time, our kids will be absolutely fine.
That's it. I think we need to not put so much expectation on our children as little kids, and as mums and dads. But, you know, if it's a dad doing it on his own, that's a hard job in itself. But I think for me, I'm learning not to just over expect or think this has to be this way, because that's how it is. We just sometimes have to think, okay, today's not going to be the day to do these things. Let it go. We've got tomorrow to work on.
And we're learning, and you're learning.
We're learning these ages, and all kids usually come out the other side really good children. But yeah, I think communication and routine and giving yourself a bit of time is so important.
Nice.
And yeah, being not kind to yourself is a big thing. I've learned that too.
Yeah, absolutely, Anna. Hey, so thank you so much for talking with me today. I really, really appreciate you taking the time.
That's fine. I've really enjoyed it, Madeline.
Cool. Okay, yeah. I will just say goodbye. Thank you very much for taking the time to talk with me today and for sharing your fabulous ideas. Remember, if you want some more support, please go to www.resilientkids.org.nz. Reach out. I'm really happy to reply to an email if you're wanting resources, and or to pick up some support through coaching or our online parenting course. Go well. Take care. Thank you.